Oh, yes. Sweet presence in the house. Thank you. Before we get into the word, we get to dedicate a baby, which I love to do. Let me explain that before I have Dale and Katrina come up with their little one. We believe here that God takes care of our little ones until that time comes when He knows, and we don't, when we've got to make a decision to either live for Him or live for the devil. And until then, the baby's covered, everything. If something would happen to the little one early on, we get to see him in heaven. That's for a fact. But our responsibility is to give the child back to God. That's not our kid. And we believe here that it takes more than just the immediate family to hold the reins on kids. So it takes the whole church. This is God. So, kind of you, Dale, bring your wife and your little ones up. Elena, is that right? I got it right. Yeah. Get over here in the center so the camera can get you, sweetheart.
Look at these two little eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Is that anointing or is that sleeping?
Oh, precious.
Whichever I want it to be. Can I have this little one? Elena? Hey, little one. Come here.
Yes,
hi
in Jesus'
there.
Name.
I've
oh,
got,
she's sleeping.
I know,
would you share, honey, before we pray, the story behind this little dress she has on that I was told today by your mom?
Oh, okay.
Okay, hold it close so I can hear.
It's about 30 years old. I was baptized in it, and she was baptized in it. Now she is dedicated in it.
Okay, and something about a 35-year piece of fabric.
Oh, this is just the dress was made, and then there's a piece from my mom's wedding dress on there and a piece from my wedding dress.
That's cool.
A piece from her mom's wedding dress is on the baby dress, and a piece from her wedding dress is on the baby dress, and she is out of it.
Yeah.
Aw. Yeah. She's precious. Thank you, Jesus.
You ready? You ready?
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just lift this whole family up. And we know, Lord, that nowadays it's almost impossible to raise them, but with you, everything is possible. We thank you, God. That this little Elena is going to grow
Jesus.
Up in the church, know the Word of God,
yes.
and make a decision down the road
yes.
to serve you.
Yes.
We just pray blessings on this family.
Yes, God.
We pray health on this little one, prosperity
yes,
on this little one.
Jesus
we thank you,
name.
Father, that we can't do this without you. So we just give this baby back to you. Mm-hmm. And I know you give it right back to us, trusting that we can follow your lead.
Thank you, Jesus.
In everything that we choose to do, the obedience, the disobedience that this little one's going to have is going to learn to be obedient to your voice. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Father. We lift up Dale, lift up Katrina.
Thank
we
you,
thank you
Jesus.
They're going to have
yes.
all the wisdom they need
yes.
to raise this little one up.
Thank you, Father.
And we trust in you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 I think she likes you.
My sweetheart.
Oh, there's her eyes open. Turn her around where they can see.
The camera. Hey, camera. Hey, cameraman. Hey. Hey.
It's so good.
I'm telling you. Okay, well, let's go eat.
What a precious memory with that dress. That is really neat. That's awesome.
How are you?
Oh, she's going to go to class, she says.
Class. Yes, yes. All right, you youngins, we need more kids.
Scott and Mary's got all theirs.
Yes, you've got all the grandkids. All the grandkids, stand up. Come on, stand up for us. Yahoo! You even got some in back. What a crew. You can sit down now. How come that one beside you didn't stand up? Yeah, that's that teenager stuff. I don't blame him. I wouldn't have stood up either. You know, when we first started serving the Lord, we dealt with a very large youth group. That's where my heart's at. And I love teaching this age because, folks, they believe everything you tell them. Then when they get up like this other one, then they're starting to come of their self. And they're starting to weigh things, which they're supposed to do. But it's so good to get the seed planted
Absolutely.
While they're young and then trust God with it. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for everything that's going on. Lord, let us open our hearts just for a few moments here, a few minutes, to hear what you would have to say to each one of us individually. We trust in you and we thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We've been talking, last time I was up, we were talking about being in a battle, being in warfare. And I want to hit on that, but I want to get a little deeper into it today. Simple teaching. Don't know how long I'll speak. I'm starting to smell that aroma getting up here. So I'm done. Let's go. No. We talked about it last time I spoke. I think it was last Sunday. We are ambassadors for Christ. Everyone that's born again, everyone that has given their heart to Jesus, is an ambassador instantly. You've been given everything that he's got. We've got ambassadors that work for the United States. And when they go to another country, they have been given full authority. They've been given just exactly what they need to get the job done. You have the same thing. The Spirit of God lives inside you, but you've got to recognize what you've got. But you've got to recognize that in this carrying the gospel that you have, you've got to recognize that there's a warfare in the spirit realm going on constantly. It does not end. It will not end. If you could see in the realm of the spirit through your soulless realm, you probably could not handle what's really out there fighting you on a daily basis. Now we have, I don't want to scare you, because we have that that's greater living inside of us. So we just have to recognize what's inside of us and recognize that we have the victory. But when we start getting the onslaught of the enemy after us, this church, I mean, you could probably go down the list of churches, and we've been hit the hardest of anybody I know, but we still stand. He's been trying to shut us down more ways than once, but he's wasting his time, because you are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And trusting in what God's doing. It's an awesome thing to know that God is right in the middle. You know, you want to write the scripture down. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I think it is, says that you are ambassadors in Christ. Once you're born again. But you know, we have in us that is greater. 1 John 4:4 literally says, greater is he that is in you. You know, back when I lived in the religious community, and I don't say that judgmental, but I was never taught that you have Christ that lives in you. It may have been said, but it was, you never got it. I never got that revelation that Christ lived in me. And I never had the revelation that you could talk to Christ and you heard God's voice. I mean, folks, be careful. Because if you go outside these walls or outside the community and you say you heard God's voice, they would probably send you to mental health. Because they don't understand that we're not hearing this voice. We're hearing this voice down inside of us. And this voice is what we are responsible to take care of. See, we can hear the wrong voice. And we can go the wrong way, and we can make wrong decisions by having that influence that's always out there trying to convince us that the other way is the right way. If it does not lift up you, if it does not lift up others, it is not God speaking. You are hearing commercials. You are hearing things on television. You are hearing the world speak to you. You are hearing things that is not lining up with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, you can bank on it that it's God speaking to you. Now, do you hear an audible voice? Wouldn't that be nice? That would be so much easier than following this that you're trying to let it mature and understand. Folks, listen, the longer you're in it, and the more you pay attention, the more you'll understand and hear his voice. And you learn that peace that comes with it. But that's what I want to talk about today is we've got an enemy that is always, always after us. It says in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers in the heavenly places. All around us, we've got demonic spirits that are trying to influence you to be what you wanted to be in the old. Because see, if you're not born again, you don't get bothered a whole lot. Because the enemy's got you. And you can live, he'll let you live right on that gray line because he's still got you. But once you give your light to light, your life to the Lord, and that light comes inside of you, then the war starts, because he wants you to go back. Even though he knows the scripture, and the scripture tells us that once you give your heart to Jesus, you can't do bad enough. Because see, you won't do it. You may lie, but you won't just stay in that lie, because eventually the Holy Spirit will convince you to say, oh, I'm so sorry for what I just did, and you're clean. But you're always clean because he washes you. You know, when you first hear that he washed you by the blood of the Lamb, that doesn't make a lot of sense because it's red. But when you understand what the blood did for you, it removed your sin. But see, you got to grab that to know the warfare you're in and know that you win the battle. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loves us always, always, always. That's why we got love works here. It's not love and then works to get it. It love works. It takes care of everything that goes on in your life. You have been taken care of, and he loves you. 1 John 5:4 says, literally says, we achieve this victory through our faith. Now, what are you saying here, Pastor? You've got to know and you know her. Can I say it that way? You've got to know here that everything in here, in this Bible, is correct and it is true, and there's nothing false in it. And you've got to know that he died for you, and you've got to know when the enemy comes with these wrong thoughts that you don't listen to those wrong thoughts. You take every thought captive, it says in the Word. Now, that's difficult when you first start understanding this, because we live such a life of negativity, such a life of believing rumors, such a life of believing the worst, that you've got to take every thought, you've got to go, now, no. I will not allow that to be the one that I'm going to listen to. I'm going to find the truth. And sometimes you have to find someone that knows the Word, or you got to get into the Word and find the Word that answers your question. And then that's what you think on. The Word says think on these things in Philippians. It doesn't say to think on everything. See, the warfare is right here between your ears. Everybody grab your ears. Grab your ears. You young guys, your thinking is what's going to take you the wrong way or the right way. When you think good things, it's going to take you the good way. Can I keep it simple? If you can let go now. Good. Listen. We're in warfare. And I don't care what takes place or what's going on in your life or in the corporate church, there's a warfare going on. And if you listen to the wrong things, you will be out there all alone, and you are not strong enough to win this war now by yourself. Did you hear me? Because when you get by yourself, what do you start thinking about? Self. And what does self do? Self destructs. Because self is thinking about poor me, and what about me, and what about this, and what about that. You're not even supposed to be going there. Your responsibility is to be ministering to other people with the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and walking in that. That's your warfare. But you got to know it's your warfare. You got to understand what's going on. You got to recognize that you're ambassadors. You got to recognize that you've got the answer. You got to recognize that it's been given to each one of you. You can't allow the worldly influence to bring you down. I'm amazed at how our culture is slowly changing overall. I mean, used to be you could turn on Family Feud, and it was just about families, and it was laughing, and it was good. And now Family Feud, if you've all watched it lately, has turned into the wrong spirit. The questions are asked in such a way that it brings out that worldly in you instead of that godly in you. But see, the whole world is trying to get you through the powers and principalities, but we have... Now, I'm not saying go in a closet and close the door, because that's not letting your light out. I'm just telling you to recognize that the war is on, and you have to pay attention to what's around you, and you don't... Jesus lived in the world. He was tempted by every sin there will ever be, but he did not sin. That means I can be in the midst of the world and not sin. Because see, to not sin is to not continually think on it. Because if I continually think on the wrong thoughts, then I will become a gossip, or I will become that firing dart that puts someone out that should never have fired that dart. I will be the one that gets on the phone and tells things that you really don't understand or know. See, I don't want to be that person. I want to be the one that trusts God in everything that goes on and know that I win and know that I'm a winner and know that we're going to be taken care of. You know, 1 Timothy 4:1 says that in the last days, men will follow deceiving spirits. Well, where are these spirits? We brought it up. Principalities and powers and rulers. You say, oh, you mean there's... Yes, there are. That realm is there. But, oh, the other realm is there too. Jesus was sent into the wilderness, and then angels came to minister to him. Elijah was sent to a brook. The brook went dry. Things were looking bad. His mind started going, yeah, okay, I followed him, and now look. Now he had me speak and stop the water, and now I don't have water. But yet God ministered to him. It's the same with us. We are in the world, but we win the world. I want you to go to Ephesians 6, and we're going to walk through a whole bunch of scripture here in about 4.5 minutes. No, not that, not quick. Now, as I've spoke, I want you to pay attention. This set of scriptures down to verse 18, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, is what you win the war with. Now, I want you to think on this in terms of your thought life. There's many ways you can look at this. Now, I can remember when I first read this, and it was like, I've got to get up every morning, and I've got to put this stuff on. Well, if you want to go through that routine, that's all well and good, because it reminds you of what you got. But you got to just get this in you to the place where every wrong thought has got an answer right here. Everything that will come by you, you say, well, sometimes people, they're telling me the truth. Even though it's bad about something, it's truth. It doesn't tell you to listen to it. There's lots of truths that we don't want to talk about. There's truth in the world of what the enemy... See, Satan is the god of this world. Now, by that, he's not in charge of the world, because God built and created the earth, and he's got the earth. But Satan has got the world influence. Satan is taking the world the wrong way. Even though we know we win, and those that come to Christ are going to walk through this, he still has it right now, but he's going to lose it eventually. And you know, it's getting closer and closer. One of the things Sherwin always tells me when I come in the coffee shop on Wednesday night, I'll say, what's up? He said, we're getting one day closer. We're getting one day closer. Now, will we see it? I don't know. I hope, but I don't want to go until he has everybody that he knows he's going to have. And I want to be a part of what he's doing, collecting. But if he's done, God is a good God. Ephesians, I want to read 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, talking about you, this is to you, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. All right, if you're going to fight the battle, you don't fight it in your own. It says in Scripture that you can't do it on your own. And boy, if you try to get by yourself and do it, you are really then in trouble. It's hard enough when you get a group of Christians standing together, but we still can't do it without him understanding he's inside of us, understanding that when we're reaching out, he's giving us the things to say, the things to do, the way to forgive, the way to just let it go, the way to just follow his lead in the things that he tells us to do, we'll win. Verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you break that down, the word wiles there is literally an inroad to your mind. Get this. You got to get this. Young people that I told you, hold your ears. Listen to me. Look at me, you guys. In between your ears is your mind. The enemy tries to convince you in your mind to not take out the trash for your mom. To not clean up your room. I'm trying to keep this so you all can grab it. They can get this. The enemy says, I don't want to clean my room. But see, God says, no, your mom and dad's important. You clean the room for it. You, when they say to do something, you do it. That's God speaking. But see, the inroads to our mind is those thoughts that will take you away from the word. It's the wiles of the devil. It's the enemy trying to convince you to live a different life. It's the enemy that says, well, I'll only tell so-and-so this gossip, and they won't tell nobody else. That does not work. Say something good, and it seems like it don't move quite as fast. That's why the news is so popular, because the news plays on that wrong side all the time. You are convinced. You are convinced by the news that things are falling apart, when in fact, things are a whole lot better than they're going on. A whole lot better. The church is strong. The church is going to win. It's just no different than they had the mass shooting. And they told you that it's all because of the AR-14 that they used. That is a very, 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 very small percent. Not that it's right. That's a very small percent of the murders that took place in America. You would have to ban knives and clubs, and I could go on and on. And you would have to eliminate cars. See, they're trying to convince you to let the enemy have all the weapons. They're trying to convince you that what God built in this country, those degrees, those things that keep us online, let's remove that. It don't mean anything. Let the world decide what to do with you, like all the other countries have done. See, but don't be convinced. Who needs a machine gun? Well, I don't need one, but sometimes they're pretty fun. In the service, when I shot them, that was pretty cool.
In the service.
I shot a 50 cal, and you talk about a kick. But the enemy wants to pervert everything that's right. America was brought into play to keep the world at peace. America was brought, nobody wants war. But you can't have Korean leaders that are trying to blow you off the map. You can't have Hitlers. You can't have those people that are possessed with the enemy, possessed with the wrong thoughts. We got to understand what we're battling against. The scripture goes on. It says in verse 12, and I just quoted this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We've taught on this and taught on this. It's everywhere. It's there, but we are stronger. We are greater. You just got to know that it's there. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, stand. What's it mean by this stand? Know that you win. Man, it's easy to be in a basketball game and win if you know the end score. But see, that's how we're supposed to be playing relaxed in this game.
That's right.
We're supposed to be enjoying life. We're not supposed to be worrying about everything that goes on. God has everything in control. He knows your ins. He knows your outs. But he tells us, quit worrying. You see, worrying is getting in the wrong camp. Worrying is putting our thought life in the wrong place. Worrying is going to that negative side when we should be on the positive side. I understand what took place. I understand what's going on. But God knows, and God's got plans, and God's going to take care. It's okay. We'll go through this. Connie does not want to get her fingers surgery. There's no way that she wants to go through this pain, but God knows. But I didn't know that she wanted them.
You shared my secret.
Doc, you shared the secret. She wants to go straighten up. We don't want to go through any of that, but guess what we're going to do? You know, it's kind of like this with Connie's health. And Lord, I believe you can do it. I believe you're going to fix it. But I got to do something with this. So I'm fixing so I can kind of use it. And then when you want to take the metal out and you want to take all the pins out and you want to take all the screws out and you want to fix it right, yeah, anytime you want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Come on. I seen Al Grohusky stand to fix his back, but stood not for God, but stood for fix his back.
Yeah.
And that's what put him in the grave.
Yes.
He believed for healing in his back, but right at the very end, he recognized, and he did right at the very end, he recognized, I've been believing wrong. He was taught wrong the word of faith. Faith is trust. That's what faith is. Faith is that he's got everything. Faith is, I've given you the tools, now you just trust him and stand. I got that. Why you want to wear yourself out trying to beat the enemy when he's already been defeated? I mean, he's under our feet. That's what the word says. You say, how come this flu's been around and everybody's been sick? That's called living in the world. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're passing through and we catch a few worldly things, but we're not defeated. We're not defeated. We win. We have the victory. We come out. It's not what gets on you. It's how you go through it. I mean, that's the answer. And we go through it. We win. Let me go on. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Well, truth of what? This right here. The truth that he's going to take care of you. The truth that every other piece of armor that he talks to you about is hooked to. This is around, this is what you believe in. This is what you trust. You say, well, how does this fit? If you're listening to someone with the wrong thought that's degrading and demeaning and cutting down, then you're not listening to the truth. The only thing you adjust his mind with is the truth. That's why we're living in a society now where they don't believe this. And they're taking everybody else's opinion on how life should be. And that's why everything is getting so twisted. Kids don't even know where to turn. I mean, you can't even say don't pull their hair because you're infringing on their rights. I mean, come on. If we go back to the foundation, it'll all straighten out. We got something to work off of. But see, we as Christians know that this is the truth, and we stand in the truth. It goes on and it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what's that all about? You got to know that you're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for you. You got to know that no matter what is going on around you, you're okay. You got to know that when you make mistakes, which you will before you leave this building, you're still covered by the blood of Jesus. You're still okay. You got to know that if you eat more than two hamburgers and you eat three or four or five or six back here, you should have given more money. And this is not McDonald's. This is an offering. So as big a check as you can write for that hamburger. It'll even make it taste better. I promise you. It'll make the youth group go, yahoo. Come on, we got to recognize, we've got to get our thought life in line. We got to recognize that we've been made righteous. Then it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, where does that feet fit? I'll tell you where it fits. In your everyday walk. In everything you're doing. If you're sitting around taking in thoughts and hearing people say things that you shouldn't be hearing or watching a program that doesn't fit, you lose your peace. And if you're losing your peace, you better step back and say, okay, where did I lose my peace? And get back in that peace.
Yes.
When you make decisions and there's peace, you keep on marching. You recognize that God's got you. You recognize that he's taking care of you. You recognize that in the midst of what you don't see, he's leading you and directing you. You follow that peace. Has anybody walked into a crowd and you just kind of lost the peace that you had? That's because something was going on in that spirit realm that you walked into and you felt that. Let me tell you what to do. Step out of that. Now, don't walk with insecurities and think everybody's talking about you. You're not that high and falutin to be talked about. Any of us. Come on. But recognize that peace that he talks about is what you walk in. That's how you win. That's how you win. This is how you win the war. See, we have it. We just have to know, I got peace. this is good. I want to stay here. Now, if I'm short-tempered and I've had a bad day and I scream at my wife, which I don't do, but if I do, I'll lose my peace. Come on. I can remember the days when Connie would slam those kitchen cabinets. And you know there wouldn't be no peace in the whole house. I can remember the time, since she's sitting there and I got the pulpit, I can say what I want to say. I can remember the time I used to turn in the driveway and the kids were just a little bitty and I never knew who I was coming home to. But oh, how God's changed. Worked on me. Because see, I didn't recognize I was most of the problem that she was having to deal with. Come on. But see, when I recognized who'd been convincing me of this, convincing me of that, what my wife should be, what my wife ought to be, that's the enemy. My wife is what she is. It's what God created. My job is to get her flourished and get her on her way and help her be what God designed. And her job is to be a helpmate and help me be what I'm designed to be. Come on, this will help your marriage. If you don't have peace in your house, start loving each other. Start going back to what brought you together. Start respecting each other. Start saying thank you. Start treating her with respect like you've never treated her. Come on. I always washed my car before we went out. I always got there at the exact time if I had to circle the block 3 times. Now, if I step out of that, there's something wrong. So I'm the one that's messing up. You say, well, I haven't washed my car in 6 months. Wash your car. You know, it wasn't very long ago, the highest priced car you could buy in America was $4,200, $4,300. The best that they had, most of the time, was under $4,000. There for a long time, under $3,000. Now you're spending $60,000 for a truck that you never put nothing in the back. Don't throw things at me. Take care of what God's give you. But take care of what God's give you. And recognize that when you're going the other way, that's the enemy convincing you. That's the enemy, and that all comes by not paying attention to what you're doing and not paying attention to the peace that he tells you to walk in. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 16. What is the shield of faith? That's trusting God. Because see, I don't care what comes against me. If I am at that place of total trust, then I'm going to be okay. Then that fiery dart's not going to affect me. Because I don't care what hits me, I'm just going to go, huh. Smith Wigglesworth woke up. And the devil himself was in his apartment. And he just turned and said, oh, it's you. And went back to sleep. Now that's when you know. Come on. We got to be at the place of knowing that when someone talks about you, they just haven't matured yet. They haven't grown up yet. And you got to just love them where they're at. You don't cut them down. You don't criticize them. You don't be a part of what they're just doing. They've just been listening to the wrong voices, and they just don't recognize what the word says, and they don't trust God. Come on, I need a smile. Your food will taste better. Come on, it's the truth. We got to get out of that realm, and we got to get into the realm of whatever comes down the pipe. As we're ambassadors in Christ, we have the victory. And he will not ever allow any of you to go through anything that you will not come through the other side. Did you hear me? You say, well, this has never happened to nobody. Oh, yes, there's nothing new. And will you get through it? I know you will. Listen, I know you will, because you could never have got in the middle of your mess if you couldn't. Because he would have blocked it. He would have told the enemy, leave him alone. I know they made mistakes, and I know they got themselves into this, but you leave them alone, they're getting through, and guess what, devil? They're going to get you back. They'll be stronger, and then you just try to throw a fiery dart, and they'll just go pow. Yep. See, by faith, not by your actions, folks, not by anything you can do. You cannot do except believe. Right. Trust. I'm at a place, trust. You get at that place, it's just trust. Wow. Like Elias Malki, in his years, I think I said it a few weeks back. He said, Pastor, I said, yes, Elias, because he always listened to Elias. He had so much wisdom. He said, you know, I just realized there are some people don't like me. He was, I mean, I was, Elias, I wished I could have been like you for 86 years. There's an enemy. But see, when you follow the word, that enemy is not affecting you. Not bothering you a bit. They've got the Olympics going on now, and they I don't know what they call it. They take this thing and they slide it across the ice. Boy, you. We are the people with the brooms. And that thing just keeps sliding. You're knocking the devil out of the way, and you're getting it right where you want it. Come on. See, I mean, if you just take it and throw it, it's going to go where gravity stops it and where the pressure stops it. But see, you're out in front cleaning the way, and it's going right exactly. And you get somebody that's really got the finesse to take it where it needs to go. Have you noticed they'll clean and then they'll let it go? They'll clean and then they'll let it go. And then all we got to do is, God, you got this. Because see, he threw it. God's got your life. He knew you before you were even conceived. And he knew how you were going to turn out. You're just sliding along. And he's got people brushing for you. And he brushes for you. And you'll end up right in the exact spot where he knew you were going. Nothing in between could stop you. You got where he knew you were going. So let God have you. Just trust God and love people and just slide along. It's so much better. You think that, what do they call that thing? What is it? Rock. It's called a rock? Now you got me between a rock and a hard place. Stone? Do you think that looks like a pot to me? Do you think that thing's going, oh, I hope I get over there. Oh, I hope I get over there. Oh, I hope I get over there. That's what we're doing. You will get over there. There's nobody in here, I don't care what your age, that you, if you believe Jesus. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you are on your own. And he knows where you're going to end, and it's not going to be good. But see, if you've accepted Jesus, just glide along, because he is going to get you where you're supposed to be. Who would have thought not very many years ago that Laura would have been leading praise and worship? She didn't. Who would have thought that Carrie would have married her? No, I didn't mean that negatively. It sure sounded like it, though, didn't it? Carrie would have probably jumped up and hit me on that one. But since you're not here, You don't know. You don't know. You don't know 15 minutes from now. That's what's crazy. I mean, think about the school shooting. Them kids did not know. I feel sorry for the man. But do you know what? I gotta quit. Do you know what? Even that young man can be forgiven. If he would genuinely repent. You say, well, how could God forgive? God's already covered it. See, when you find out how much love really is, you can see everybody can get forgiven and be taken care of. Let's finish this set of scriptures. We gotta move on. The food is calling us. It says, says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Then it goes on and says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You take everything you can get word-wise in you. It come up earlier. The word says that this set of scriptures in here takes your thoughts and your intents, and it divides it and separates it, and you see it. You'll be able to see, oh, that's a wrong thought. Oh, that's a wrong direction I'm taking my life. Oh, this is the right direction. And this word will bring you to the place you're supposed to go. And you recognize that as you get the word in, you become transformed and you become new. You change. Everything is new. The Bible says that old things have passed away, and behold, you are new. But what has to happen is this new has to get up here that runs you. This new that used to do stuff that you shouldn't becomes that. See, your old ways, your old talk, your old voice, your old stuff is habit. And the more you do the right stuff, it becomes a new habit. And your mind changes. And you start doing things that are for people instead of for yourself. And you start forgiving people for the way they are, because they're just like you were or are. They've been forgiven just like you've been forgiven. And we come to that place of recognizing that's our warfare, knowing that that person that drives you crazy, God loves them just as much as he loves you. And we got to recognize that our mind is getting in the way. It goes on, it says, I like this part here. I want to read it out of the New Living Translation, verse 18. It says, pray in the Spirit all times, and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Well, why? Because, folks, if you stay in that tune, you're not thinking about you. You're concerned about them. You're concerned about them. Your thoughts and your prayers goes to them. Praying in the Spirit, some that don't understand that, literally means praying in tongues in your own prayer language that everybody has. And it's not a Pentecostal thing. It's something that's in the Word that's real. As you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that you build yourself up, because praying in the Spirit is a one-on-one voice with God, and there is no mind that gets in the way. And you are praying in the Spirit, and you're building yourself up, and then in the midst of that, many times you can be praying in the Spirit, and people will come to your thought, and you'll pray for that person, you're covering them, and then you'll pray for the people in Florida that got killed and their families, and different things come up when you pray. That's warfare. That's why you do it as a group. That's why you stand strong together. That's why the people in Florida that were born again Christians, they're not alone. The ones that maybe didn't know Christ, God already knew that they would never come to Christ, or they would never have died going to hell. He already knows your outcome. He knew at 12 years old in that little Methodist church, when I went up and gave my heart to the Lord, I knew at that moment that I would be a pastor. I mean, it was like, really? Now, I didn't pursue it until I was 32 years old. I lived okay, but I'm not telling anybody some of the stuff that went on in my life. My sons don't know. My wife don't know. I'm so glad I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And there's some people that know, and I hope they stay quiet. Come on. But it doesn't matter. I've been forgiven. I like that. It's called BC, before Christ. Anybody got a BC in their life? Anybody got a BC and they really should have not had a BC? See, God is a good God. Let me close out, because I know you're all wanting to eat. Folks, the battle is in our mind. But we have a victory in our mind. When you know, I'm not concerned about principalities and powers. Not one bit. I could care if the whole group of them come in the door right now. It doesn't matter. Because whatever's going to hit us, whatever's going to come down, we're winning. I mean, it's just going to make me stronger. Because my trust is going to be more and more and more in what's going on in our lives. We come to that place of pay attention to your influences. Pay attention to what you're allowing, who you're hanging out with, what's going on around you. It's amazing how the subtle little things of what you enjoy doing maybe can draw you into the wrong group or the wrong crowd that's doing things that you're like, the more you're around it, the more you'll be influenced. The more it's accepted. And then all of a sudden the enemy goes, ha ha ha. Now I'm gonna destroy you. You may be a Christian, but you're gonna be such a poor witness. But even in that, come on, even in that, God says, I still got you. I still got you. And you just pay attention, and pretty soon you will come out of it. I don't care if you're died 86 and you're 85. God's gonna get you out of it because He says, I will finish the work that I started. That's why it's the best place to serve is serve God and come to that place of total trust in Him and let Him. I wouldn't change my life as hard as this job is, and that's what it is sometimes. No, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I've said, Lord, I'm looking in the scripture. I've read it and read it and read it, and I cannot find retirement. You'd think it'd be in the very end. Well, it is. He's coming to get us. That's when my retirement's coming. I'm planning on serving Him till I can't walk. It's over. Come on. But see, everybody's got to be in the same place. Don't say, well, I've served in the nursery long enough, I quit. No, 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 no. You serve till He moves you to the next place. Because ministry is ministry, and we're all in it.
That's right.
We're going to carry what He wants us to carry. Let's stand up.
Hallelujah.
Now, before I pray, I know that we've got, John, do they need time back there? 3 to 5 minutes. We'll go through this door if you're eating, or that door and then around. And you go through that door and down the hall to get, if you're going to carry takeout food and go out. You say, well, how does that go with the sermon? I don't have any idea, but I had to tell you. Let's stay and love each other. And if you say, well, I can't stay, well, leave an offering anyway. Bless the young people. They got plans of going into Missouri, and it's going to be a close mission trip, but it's going to be a good mission trip. But it takes money, and we've got a lot of kids that cannot afford it. So if you can give, I told Kelly I would tell you all. Kelly called me yesterday. He's down past Carroll, the Riverman. The church helped him buy a little motor that goes on the front of his pontoon boat, and he said he went all the way down on this side of Carroll last night with that little motor. He said, I only use 6 gallons of gas for 2 days of travel. Instead of that great big motor. And he had some bad health while he was at Cape Girardeau. That's the main reason he hung around. And he was on this side of Carroll, and he said he was going to go just past Carroll early this morning. And he had a little town down there that he already made arrangements for them to pick him up and go to church. Isn't that awesome? And Kelly, if you're watching, listen, when he come in here, his life was totally transformed. He said, I knew of God, but I didn't know God could be so much fun. That's what he said. And he's not missed church since he's been here. He's went to church. Down at Cape, he just went up the street and went. He said, I had to get to church. I had to get to church. Isn't God good? All right, I want to pray for the food, and I want to pray for you, and we'll go eat. Oh, everybody rub your belly. Oh, feel, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that we have the victory. Your word says that we've already won. We've already defeated the enemy. You did it for us. All we have to do is just relax and trust in you in our everyday walk. Just what gets said around here so much, just get up in the morning, love God, love people, and just go to bed at night. Trusting and knowing that everything's in your hands, and we thank you for it. Thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for the food that's been prepared for us, those that stood out in the cold weather and barbecued for us. Thank you, Father, that it's just going to be a good time. Thank you that we can take some of our resources that you've given us, and we can bless the youth department so they can be touched by you as a group. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for everything that's going on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be up front here while the line's being formed.